Tunes and Tumblr.
Hello and welcome to Tunes and Tumblr Century Club by Atwood Magazine, your weekly shot of what's new in music. I'm your host, Anthony, and it's good to be back after a long, relaxing break. It was nice getting to chill and shitpost on the TNT story while I conserved my energy for June. That's right, it is Pride Month yet again, and I'm revved up to burn rainbow capitalism wherever I find it with my fellow queers. Please don your black t-shirts haunted by the ghosts of goth girls and join me in telling Chase Bank that we see right through their pandering. Let's.
But I will take a free pin.
I will. Absolutely will. Let the rosé flow free in the shackles of a broken system. Hit the pavement. Please join the revolution or fill up our DMs with hate responsibly. Because it's Century Club, we are joined by a very special musical guest, synth-pop singer-songwriter, and one of my favorite rising artists, Grace Kay, will be joining us at the end of the show to gift us with a live version of her latest single, Overgrown. She has a gift for producing refined and punchy songs with lush vocal textures and nostalgic lyrics that will have you crying on the train while listening to Fleetwood Mac. Her acoustic version of Overgrown can only be heard here, so stick around for that special treat. Of course, we all know that drinking alone is a sad, sad business, so I found a couple of guys wearing Fuck Corporate Pride t-shirts on TikTok and asked them to help me push some propaganda on the air. And they are...
Ryan, your music connoisseur.
And Pedro, your mixologist. And my shirt actually says, I have fucked corporate pride.
I have to admit, I really love this like universal backlash against corporate pride this year. It's very prominent.
I love the style of tweet that's like this, you know, when I was younger, I had trouble staying in the closet or I was in the closet. And that's why I've partnered with IKEA.
Oh, that killed me. I saw that. It's the Meg Salter thing. It's the hi, gay. It's that whole.
Oh, that was great, too.
The butter shop. Dude, that skit. I think she did a new one. she did a new one for this year. Hi, gay. I fucking love that.
My favorite one, my friend posted something about like bi erasure. Like, I'm tired of the bi erasure. And that's why I've like, and then she just like name drops like a missile and says, I've partnered with Lockheed Martin.
I love that.
That's better. I always thought I was going to go to Staples, but I like, I like that or Raytheon, but even better.
Should have been Best Buy. Come on.
Oh man, well, any big plans for June, you guys, besides burning corporate pride? I mean, we're all gonna go out and wear our rainbows. I know that for absolute sure. And just as a reminder, folks, Tunes and Tumblers is a queer podcast. At least 50% of us are queer, so you know, we're not those.
We own 51% of this company. I mean, as far as plans, I don't have anything planned yet. I'm usually greenered up pretty good year round, but I'm sure I'll get into something. I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah, I haven't been outside. Well, did I go outside for Pride last year? I don't remember, but I do remember in 2019.
You kept the pride inside.
I saved it for when we talked about Big Frida. But yeah, 2 years ago, I went to a pancake breakfast for Long Beach Pride that had free mimosas, and I want to see if that's still happening again.
That sounds good. Free mimosas? That's fucking dangerous. Is it like all you can drink free mimosas?
They didn't cut me off. It was like one of these things where it was like a beauty salon put it on, and friend of the pod, Sam Felipe, was the one who invited me. And it was just in the backyard of this beauty salon. There were like hammocks and like those big kind of like canopy chairs. And I just had pancakes and drank a ton of mimosa. So Sam, is that happening again? Please let me know. I have no plans. No plans at all.
Call in. That's awesome. That sounds like fun.
I think I always have to return to this really dated but still funny book that Stephen Colbert put out years ago back when he was doing his fake conservative character on The Rapport. And he had a book called I Am America and So Can You.
I love that.
And he had a
book.
Chart yeah, things that are trying to turn me gay and their success on a scale of 1 to 10. And it was gay people, throw rugs, Clive Owen, dog whispering, and baby carrots. And baby carrots are an 11.
The baby carrots lobby is coming after all of us.
That's so funny.
So I'm going to have some and we'll see what happens. We'll see if it turns me.
Results may vary.
Oh, we're getting sidetracked and the show has only begun. I kind of, you know, I want to return to bands and bookmarks. We haven't done that in a while. Ryan, do you have any political pamphlets or Christian fundamentalist chick tracts for us to read today?
Well, first off, I want to read a section from a book I've been enjoying recently called Turn the Beat Around, The Secret History of Disco by Peter Shapiro.
Sick.
It's a fantastic history book, and it's really worth having Spotify or YouTube nearby to listen to things as he reads them, because he references a lot of tracks and sort of the genesis and the evolution of disco. So there was this description, though, that was so great and felt so timely for the song we're going to talk about today, and just thought it'd be a fun celebration. So this is a passage about what many described as the first totally uninhibited gay discotheque in America, in New York, that ran from 1969 to 73. So I'm going to read a passage here. This is about a club called Sanctuary. So the club housed at 407 West 43rd Street between 9th and 10th in the Hell's Kitchen section would eventually become one of the most celebrated and outrageous clubs in the long, colorful history of New York nightlife. Arnie Lord opened the church, which was indeed housed in a former German Baptist church at the tail end of the 60s, as perhaps the most over-the-top of all the hippie sensoriums. Lord had the diabolical idea of decorating it for a witch's Sabbath. Opposite the altar was a huge mural projecting a terrifying image of the devil, his eyes drawn so that whatever you stood, his baleful orbs were glaring down upon you. Around the evil one was a flight of angels with exposed genitalia, engaging in everything known or every known form of sexual intercourse. For the altar, with its broad marble communion table and imposing range of organ pipes, stood the long-haired DJ preparing the disco sacrament. With the throw of a switch, he could black out the hall and illuminate it eerily with light shining through the stained glass windows. His communications furked around or laid back on the pews, which had been arranged around the walls as banquets. As a sop to the building's former occupants, the DJ would often play the theme song from Jesus Christ Superstar, lighting up each of the stained glass windows as he did. So this is an incredibly gay club in a former Catholic church. And they had managed...
Oh, my God.
The Catholic church managed to persuade a judge to grant an injunction against the club, forcing it to close down, but not for long. So the pressure exerted on the church's gates by the hordes was so great that it quickly reopened under the name The Sanctuary, with plastic grapes covering the cherubs unmentionables. But it was now the clientele rather than the decor that was desecrating this former house of God. The club's ownership, having fallen into financial straits, was taken over by a flamboyant gay couple called only by their first name, Seymour and Shelley, and the crowd changed accordingly. While the gay rights movement was ignited a couple miles away at a bar called the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village, The Sanctuary, whose crowd is also peppered with Broadway actors due to the club's location near the theater district in hip straits, would prove to be one of the sites of gay liberation's first full flowering. No longer the victims of unchecked police harassment, with the birth control pill slowly changing people's minds about the function of sex, and a climate of I'm okay, you're okay, liberal tolerance, The Sanctuary's gay crowd turned the former house of worship into a bacchanalian pleasure palace. It was here that the bump got its start.
The bump?
Well, it wasn't the cute little hip-hugger, tushy-touching step that it became in the straight world. It was a frank pantomime of buggery. Two boys could get into it. Two boys could get into it together, or 20 could make up a daisy chain. The sex wasn't confined to the dance floor, nor was it confined to simulation. There were constant orgies in the toilets, and the club would be eventually closed down in 1972 because its patrons regularly used the hallways of neighboring buildings for impromptu bump sessions. So, yeah, it was here where so much cool music's played, and then he goes in and lists all these songs that were on the regular playlists there, which I could go on and on about this. Maybe we'll make an accompanying playlist of it. But The Four Tops, Don't Bring Back Memories, Drums of Passion, Cat Mother and the All Night Newsboys, Track and A, Apache, Out of Limits, version of Bacon by the Four Seasons. A lot of fun proto-disco tracks. So
I want to go there so bad.
But it's closed, right?
Wanna, I want to go to that time, that place.
It just felt, yeah.
Before you said it closed down in the 70s, it reminded me an awful lot of that scene from Nick and Nora's Infinite Playlist where they're trying to find their friend and she's like, I found Jesus. And she's outside of this, like, you know, gay club in church. I'm like, is that the same place?
Right. Could have been a reference to it. Yeah.
Yeah. In 2009.
But I hope that painted a nice picture.
Dude.
In vibrant colors. A real Jackson Pollock there, Ryan.
I want to go.
Yeah, and once again, the book.
It sounds amazing.
Yeah, the book, though, is just so good. It's such a rich history. Turn the Beat Around, The Secret History of Disco by Peter Shapiro. Highly recommend.
Turn the Beat Around. I already, like, as you were talking, I added that to my Goodreads. I think I'm going to get it on audiobook because... I think this really comes alive when it's being narrated to me.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, like the narration, the wording is fucking, it's great.
The guy's an incredible writer, and I don't know that you're going to find it on audiobook because it was published in 2005, but worth a check.
If you have an LA library card, check out Libby. They have tons and tons of audiobooks that you can get for free, and you don't have to have an Audible subscription. The LA library doesn't pay me, nor do they pay really anybody else. So this is just...
Except their staff.
I'm not talking shit about them. I love the LA library. But I think there's a problem here. We've been talking and talking, and I don't have a drink in my hand. Can we fix that really quick? Pedro, well, actually,
yeah.
We need to talk about what we're listening to today first. Ryan, what are we listening to today?
We are listening to This Hell, the latest single from Rina Sawayama on Dirty Hit.
Dirty Hit is right. I've been listening to this on a loop for like a week. And then when we were trying to decide about how to celebrate Pride, and Ryan, you mentioned her, and I'm like, yes, 100%, we're doing this one. Pedro, do you have something we could pair with this?
Yeah, I want to keep it simple. It's Pride. I want fucking rainbow shots, man. It's enough for everybody. They go around. If this is going to be my last Pride episode, that's what I want. We're taking some rainbow shots.
Hell yeah.
So how does one make a rainbow shot?
Well, okay, so you got to layer it in the shaker, right? You got to do the grenadine, the orange. I use orange juice, you can also use pineapple juice. And that's sort of where you put in the liquors, where the juice is at. And then you like quickly float some curacao on the top and then pour it out over like 8 shot glasses.
Wow.
And then it just makes a cascade of color.
And you have to do that pretty quickly before it mixes, right?
Yeah, the curacao likes to like drop in there, so you gotta do it pretty fast. But it's not that hard. You just gotta practice and drink every shot that you make along the way. That's how I did it the first time I tried it, because I just really wanted to give it a shot. Like, I was in college, I think, and we were gonna have a party at our apartment that night, and it was early, and I was like, I really want to try this. So I was there alone. I forget where everyone else was, but they were going to be back to party later, and I was there alone just practicing, and I don't know how many rounds of them I went through before I finally got it right.
And you drank everyone as you went.
I was so smashed.
You're like, well, this was a failure. Drink, 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 drink. Okay, again.
Literally, yes. I was like, I'm not letting this go until I get it.
Even if you completely failed, there was no way that exercise was going to be a failure.
Exactly. Like, as even if it doesn't look good, it's going to taste great. It'll look like mud, but it'll taste fine.
And to quote Thomas Edison, I didn't fail. I found 99 ways not to make a rainbow shot.
To quote queer icon, Thomas Edison.
Queer icon, Thomas Edison.
That's so fucking funny.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, I do want to talk about Rina, but also I think this is a great time to talk about Pride playlists in general. I know that like this was just one of like 25 songs that we looked at on Billboard's list of like the best queer tracks of 2022 so far. So what else are you guys listening to? What's getting you in the spirit of the summer of Pride? Like, what's the mood here?
Dude, I kind of can't get enough of the live music that Miley Cyrus put out recently, where she does like a version of like a Prayer. She does Jolene. She does like all these great covers. She sounds so good. Like, I've been loving that shit. That shit's getting me pumped up. Omar Apollo is always a good one too. I always enjoy listening to his music, like especially around this time. Yeah. Oh, Kylie Minogue. I've been pretty into Kylie Minogue. Like, especially she has a couple tracks. She has like a track she does with Dua Lipa. It's like a remix of Real Groove. So good.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, Kylie Minogue. She's also got a really good song if you haven't heard called Miss A, I think it's called Miss A Thing. Really fun, very disco-y track. Yeah.
I've mostly been listening to my mood has been very different. I've been listening to a lot of Orville Peck's new album Bronco. I you know, Pony was good, but man, Bronco, he just like comes out of the gate. There's like a lot of there's a lot of faster.
He comes out of the gate because
he's a Bronco.
Because Bronco, that's funny.
There's a lot more energy on this album. The other one was kind of melancholy, but this one's like party country, and I love that. But like still traditional. And I was talking the other day. I'm like, what do you think is up next? Is he gonna be like? Is up next like Unicorn or Pegasus? Or Mustang. I think honestly his next album is going to be called Mustang, but it's good to speculate.
Appaloosa.
Yes. Or Shetland Pony. Are Shetland we going?
Mini Horse.
Mini Horse.
It's going to be an EP called Mini Horse.
Mini Horse.
You are hung like Pegasus will be a line that will be said.
That's canon. I read about it in Greek
mythology.
I've
got mythology. A Hercules on life.
That's it. End the show. we're
fucking and thank you
here.
For listening to what, Tunes and Tumblers.
What if I say it in his voice, though? Like in a really deep... Will it make it sound
shit,
better?
Oh, shit, yeah.
If I say... Maybe. Nah. I'm not gonna
try. You're getting there. It's pretty close.
I'll get there.
Bring it back next week.
I've been thinking about the meme I shared with Pedro some time back that just has an opossum photoshopped terribly onto a dance floor, and it says, "You can't spell disconnecting from reality without disco."
I think I reshared that on my Instagram story too, dude. That shit cracked me up.
We should post that when we as part of
I fucking love that.
Yeah, it's been a shitty. There's a really great line in the Rena song where she says, "This life gave us nothing to lose." And that I feel like that's such a potent line and such a great line of the times. And I think during that time, during the disco era, certainly when at the height of the AIDS, you know, pandemic back in the day, there was this feeling of like nihilism a little bit amidst the music that came through here and there, which was that, you know, we're going to party and go all the way no matter what, even if it means death, you know. There was this liberation in disco, but also this possibility that it might kill you. And there was this kind of dark acceptance of it that came through some of the songs from that period from time to time. And so I think there's some nihilism in that line in the Rena song in this, if we're going to go to hell, it's going to be fun. It's going to be just more fun with you. And so some parallels there, I thought. And so... that meme, I feel like, has a little bit of that element. And in terms of disco, I love putting on Patrick Cowley, another day disco icon, who had some reemerging interest via placement in the movie Palm Springs from 2020.
Oh man, great movie! Such a mood for 2020. But yeah, I'm start like after you said that about there's this kind of mortality, like this creeping mortality baked into like the disco movement, it makes me wonder if that's why disco is seeing a resurgence, because look around, everyone. Everything kind of sucks right now, but...
I've found it helps to not look around, actually.
You know what? Stop looking. Shut it all out.
Look straight ahead at the rainbow shot you just made.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point, Anthony.
Like you guys are saying, like, it's sort of like it's kind of prevalent now as much as back then. And there was a Trixie Mattel and Katya have a podcast where they talked about this when like COVID was still like new and like everyone was sort of figuring out what the fuck was going on in 2020. And they made a point that I thought was like really interesting that sort of you reminded me of, or they're like, because there was people going to like Puerto Vallarta and like there were all these parties happening and people were sort of disregarding everything that they should be doing to stay healthy. And they were sort of, it was this attitude of like, well, if I get COVID, I get COVID. And they were saying like, it's kind of like it's almost like a historical thing where like, you know, back when the when, you know, HIV and AIDS was like just spreading rampantly and no one knew anything. But like the main thing was like also nobody cared. Sort of like being queer meant that you kind of didn't have any value, like especially like your body didn't have any value. Like you're saying, like there was this nihilism, like, well, fuck it, we're going to get it anyway and die. So let's just do it. And it kind of, it's carried over like across generations, which is like so sad, but it's there. Mm.
And what's going on now? The First Lady is unveiling a Nancy Reagan stamp to kick off Pride Month. Person who's part of the gender. Yeah. The someone married to the man who historically, famously, or infamously ignored AIDS for as long as humanly possible.
I can just see it now. She like takes the cloth off the stamp that's like framed and she's like, "We stand a queen."
Ugh.
Good Lord. Jesus. Just like the fucking dissonance. Like, what is the what is the reasoning behind that? What did she say about like what about Nancy Reagan screams pride?
Nothing. I don't think it was meant I don't think it like pride was mentioned or that this was part of that in any way. It was just happened to be something she was doing that happens to be aligning with this moment. So yeah, I don't think there was any attempt to tie that into that. At least I don't think. I could certainly look it up.
I certainly don't hope.
It just tells me that this whole administration is just completely unprepared for the moment right now in every almost every way. I mean, it's
it's almost like they didn't know June was coming.
Yeah.
I think besides pride, I love this time of year, you know.
Oh yeah,
I love the
summer's kicking off.
Yeah,
I felt like that was a weird transition, guys, because we were just talking. Like, yeah, but
I love that. I really love this time of year, though.
Hey, we'll take what we can get. Okay, right?
We're all gonna go to hell, but at least it's better together.
Hey, we're gonna be prepared for hell because it's so fucking hot on this earth. We're pretty much the same temperature as hell, I think.
This is our most political episode to date, I think.
That's saying something.
How can you not be these days? You have to try to not be political. Everything's so fucked up. It's like effort.
I don't like politics.
Yeah, no one does, but Jesus.
And then oh boy, I was going to go in another bad direction.
So summer's coming up.
It's like Star Wars is coming. Oh yeah, there's people complaining about the black character in it again.
Honestly,
there is a thing
like
on
every
hard drive.
Positive thing has some horrible negative thing attached.
There is this thing on hard drive, which I love hard drive. Y'all should follow hard drive news if you can. Their finger is right on the pulse. But the headline was: guy who doesn't like new Star Wars thing now forced to defend it.
Oh God. Ugh. It goes back to my observation that it just feels more and more these days that there's no one to root for on any side of any issue. Feels like that more and more.
There's no one left.
Except Keanu Reeves, but I am hesitant to stan him because it's only a matter of time before something happens. I mean, we don't wish it.
No.
We stan a king, but for now. That's what I always have to say. For now.
Cautious optimism.
Mm-hmm.
Cautious standing. Is that a paradox? That probably doesn't make sense, does it? Cautious fanaticism.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like standing is blind as hell. You just got to go in.
So what is your guys' history with Rina Sawayama? Have you listened to her music before? Or are you coming to her with fresh eyes?
Somewhat fresh. I've known about her. I caught her at Coachella. Caught a little bit of her set at Coachella. And I saw her come out with Pablo Vittar, which was fantastic. And that was really fun.
Oh yeah.
So I've kind of known about her, but seeing her come out for that song, I thought was pretty incredible. And I witnessed the power. I bared witness to the power. But yeah, I love this song. I know it's probably not quite like most of her catalog, but no, she's great. I've loved everything I've heard.
I want to say that if you go to her Wikipedia page, the artist photo is her performing at school night in 2018 in Hollywood, which is awesome.
That's yeah. cool.
That's dope.
If you guys ever find yourself in Los Angeles on a Monday night, you've got to check out School Night. It's at this club called Bardot. It used to be free, but post-pandemic, it's $5. $5, it's fine. But there's so much great music discovery. It's run by... what is the radio station that runs School Night, Ryan?
Well, KCRW has some involvement,
yeah.
you know, via Chris Doritos and such. Yeah, they got a charge. What are they, the library?
Inflation went from zero to $5. Isn't that like an impossible amount of inflation? Like, what's the percentage of inflation there? Infinite inflation.
I don't think it was inflation. It was infection. They need the money.
Yeah. Oh. Infection.
Boom.
But yes, this is actually my first time really listening to her. I know that she got really popular in 2020 with her self-titled debut. But yeah, she was on all of the like top of the year lists. And, you know, me being in my little quarantine bubble didn't really get to listen to it. But I'm loving what I'm hearing now. This is the anthemic post-quarantine music that we need. And, you know, coming up in future episodes, we're going to start talking about the dark side of that, but let's dance right now.
I love when she starts the song, because she, like, she sort of takes that, like, that Shania Twain thing. She's like, let's go, girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you want to make a room of, you know, of LGBTQ plus people stand up, you say that. You say that to a beat.
Yeah, it goes nicely with your Orville Peck listening, too, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a great playlist if we manage to make the playlist in the episode description below.
I'll do it this time.
Is that a promise?
Yes.
Our Tunes and Tumblers Pride playlist, Rina Sawayama, Disco, Orville Peck. What else have we talked about?
I'm sure Nancy Reagan has a spoken Nancy word something Reagan. Out there.
Oh, God.
A few Nancy Reagan speeches just peppered in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just her Just Say No. And then a little clip from Reagan on the cartoon marathon. What was that horrible cartoon fusion thing that aired in the 80s to combat drugs?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about? It was like the cartoon All-Stars drug special where Reagan addresses the yeah. audience, and then it's all these cartoon characters.
Oh, man, I can't remember what that was called. I know what you're talking about.
That's definitely dating us, I think. But
We'll find it.
Just say no. It's not that
I like
hard.
that like the kids who wear Dare shirts now have like no idea like what it means or where it came from. It's like, yeah, this just looks cool.
I think they kind of do, and that's the or maybe they do, and that's the joke. Like, it's become kind of ironic. Like, remember this ridiculous time.
Is irony popular again? I feel like it wasn't for a while.
It's more it feels kind of subtle or more muted in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but yeah, I feel like doing that now, if you were to do that now, it kind of feels like the equivalent of wearing like a t-shirt with the design of like a tuxedo suit on it.
Oh.
It's the equivalent of wearing a black t-shirt that says, this is my costume.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
I was just having a conversation in class yesterday about guilty pleasures. No, wait for it before you start laughing, right?
I was just imagining, thinking about all the other ridiculous shit. I woke up like this.
Oh God.
Sorry, go ahead, Anthony.
What retailer used to sell those? Like Macy's or something? Like in the Husky Boys section? It was
Husky Boys.
I like that it's only the Husky Boys. You have to go to the Boys Husky to find.
It's where all the giant
shirts are. I feel like they all had a hand in it, like Target, Kmart, Walmart. They all had like their own little group of them.
They do that at H&M now. I tried to go to H&M to buy clothes recently. Don't ask me why. I used to be able to get like some good cuts there, but like all of the everything they have is like oversized hoodies with like ironic phrases on them and just like giant pants, and I'm like, I'm not trying to look like a little kid who got into his dad's closet.
then you're not cool.
Yeah. Then you're a fucking loser.
But yeah, bringing it back to what I was going to say about my class, we were talking about guilty pleasures. The question was, what are your guilty pleasures? And the more I thought about it, I'm like, I don't believe in that anymore. I don't believe in enjoying things ironically, really. I think if I like someone or like someone or something, I just like it. I like crazy bad music that's also fun. Yeah, I wanna have all the pride anthems and the disco and the pop punk. I don't care that I like Machine Gun Kelly. I know he's an asshole. Come at me. yeah, let's close out by telling what are your pleasures that some would consider guilty that you just love.
Bitch, I will blast Barbie Girl by Aqua all day. Like that song comes on and I love it every time, and I don't have the patience to fake it. I don't have the energy to say that I don't. All right, I love Barbie Girl, love that beat. Fuck.
Didn't they like do a performance recently and not play that song?
Well, that's a pretty bad choice on their part. Did they really?
This might have just been like something that I conjured in my head, but I don't know. Look it up, people.
On that note, I read a headline because you know how they're doing the Barbie live action movie with like Margot Robbie.
Oh, that's what it was. It was they're not having the song in it. That's what it is.
And someone literally commented, as we all thought in our heads, what the fuck is the point then?
Yes, that's what it is. Aqua's Barbie Girl song will not be featured in Margot Robbie's film. That's the headline I'm looking at right here.
Make the petition, start the campaign. That song needs to be in there.
Yes, please.
That I don't know why you wouldn't just have somebody new re-record it. I mean, that's just such an easy, obvious move, but maybe they don't want to be obvious.
Hey, get Rina Sawayama to re-record Barbie Girl.
I have a guilty pleasure for bands from the 90s and 2000s who have Zone in their name, like Boyzone. And then and then the group Ozone from Moldova.
Oh, shit.
I think they were from Moldova, right? Or no, they're it's in Romanian, I think. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I remember hearing about that.
Yeah, they're Moldovan.
I remember.
Eurodance group. That's right. Oh my God,
Dragoste Dinte, and it's just such a ridiculous. It's you'd know it if you heard it. I can't replicate it, but it's so good. Yeah, I can't and I won't.
Oh man, this
Eurodance
album
sounds like
else.
The thread.
Yeah, man, Eurodance, like that shit was good. I can't avoid shaking my ass to a Eurodance beat.
You're right, Anthony. The cover, the art on that is so funny. It's like the cover of a Disney Adventures magazine. And disco, capital O at the end. Oh, it's so good. So of that time. But if you go out, remember, oh God, it's like you go to these dance clubs and nowadays and those songs are played non-ironically. Mm-hmm. Friend of the show, Dent May, did a DJ set at the Goldfish and he dropped all this ridiculous Euro dance.
Yeah.
And it was like, really, you know, Barbie Girl and like, what's that other one? Like Crazy Frog.
Yeah, they played Crazy Frog. What else? They played like a lot of like really, it started like differently at the beginning and then at the end it just got like crazy.
Were you there?
Yeah,
Dent May did a DJ set at the Goldfish like months ago and we went last minute.
Oh man. Thanks for telling me, guys.
It was a last minute play. But it was fun. And he was basically doing one of his wedding DJ sets, but for Highland Park Zoomers who seemed to non-ironically like all these Eurodance songs. So maybe our opinions aren't that hot. Our takes aren't that hot.
Yeah.
If you're looking for another crazy wacky DJ set from a friend of the pod, try to see Mating Ritual when they do their DJ sets. They also get really weird. We like talked to them a little bit before. They did a Christmas DJ set at a tiki bar in Silver Lake.
Whoa, cool.
Fun.
It was like a pop-up behind this noodle shop. And they're just like, we're gonna start with some traditional stuff and then it's gonna get really weird and we're gonna scare people here. That was what they told us.
Hell yeah.
That's dope. I like when DJs just are clearly having fun and it's almost like I know that you listen to this stuff at home alone. Like I know it's like a DJ just started like playing stuff. I'm like, I know that you rock out to this when you're at home, and I like that.
Well, with that said, I think I'm going to rock out to a little bit of Ozone alone in my room for the rest of the afternoon. But before we shut down the bar and go enjoy Pride Month, does anyone have any lingering thoughts?
It's always good to try and educate yourself on the history of Pride. I've been trying to do it more recently, just, you know, learning where it came from and stuff, and, you know, the Stonewall riots and all that. And it's yeah, I mean, it's a big community, and there's the way it is now is not how it always was. So it's important to know where it all comes from and how it all started.
Make sure to patronize your small businesses like Target and buy the rainbow markers that they've moved to the front of the store.
All right, I'm ending the show.
North and South Pole.
Thank you for listening to Tunes and Tumblers. Tunes and Tumblers is an Atwood Magazine podcast and a member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Be sure to like the show and Atwood on every platform and check out some more of Pantheon's amazing music-based pods. Also, please rate and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. It helps us out a lot. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the episode description, you'll find a link where you can donate directly to the show. Every dollar goes to keeping the lights on and filling up our LeChonk piggy bank on top of Pedro's fridge.
Yeah!
Tunes and Tumblers was produced, as always, by Drew Franzblau. Our theme song is by New New Girlfriend. And before we go, we have a little dessert for you, just like I promised. LA-based singer-songwriter Grace Kay is here to play a live acoustic version of her latest single, Overgrown. It's a bittersweet look at the emotions that linger when friends outgrow one another. The studio version, which I highly suggest you check out, contains all of her gifts for big, wistful pop production, but the acoustic version captures more of the private intimacy you can experience when you move through loss alone. But I'll let you hear that for yourself. Tunes and Tumblers fam, here is Grace Kay with her amazing song, Overgrown. Cheers.
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 Can't wait.
Hello, this is Grace Kay. I wrote the song Overgrown that's being covered today in Tunes and Tumblers. I'm super excited that it's being shared with you guys. I just wanted to give you a little background on the song. Overgrown is about outgrowing friendships, whether you like it or not. It's something that I think everyone has to go through and something I don't think is super explored in music. And especially when, you know, you've had those friendships that you really want to work out, but what's tough to acknowledge is both of you have moved on. You've grown into two different people. And it doesn't mean that you don't hold this dear love for them still. And I think that's what, you know, makes that experience different than any kind of romantic breakup. So if you've drifted apart from a friend who, you know, looking back, that makes you sad sometimes, I hope that you resonate with this. So here is Overgrown.
My Aries heart is a simple one. We don't need to have so much in common, but it feels like there was some fabrication. It feels like we got lost in translation. But if you need me, if you need me, I'll offer you my light for tomorrow. But I think I overwatered your soil. Oh, oh, we're overgrown. Oh, oh, we're overgrown. Been thinking about the good old days. We only worried about one way. But now we're going through five lanes of traffic, and it feels like we're just holographic. But if you need think I overwatered your soil. So much in common, but it feels like there was some fabrication. It feels like we got lost in translation.